This is the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.
With the sixth pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Ronnie Stanley, tackle, Notre Dame.
As the 2016 NFL Draft has come to a close for the Baltimore Ravens, I could say they did okay, I guess. What would you say, Ray?
Well, they didn't do what I expected them to do, as I predicted.
As many people have thought as well.
Well, I predicted over 2 weeks in a row on this show that the Baltimore Ravens would, for their very first pick over in the sixth overall, they would select Laremy Tunsil, offensive tackle out of Ole Miss. That did not happen, but that was out of everyone else's control because, you know, 13 minutes before the draft, Laremy Tunsil decides, his Twitter account decides to post a video of him smoking a bong and a gas mask. And the Ravens immediately took him completely off their board. Not even, like, drop him or anything like that. They took him off the board. And then he just watched as Tunsil slipped a few rounds and then slipped a few picks and had a few offensive tackles selected before him, including one, Ronnie Stanley, for the Baltimore Ravens out of Notre Dame.
Yeah, of course, the Ravens, one of their main needs, of course, was offensive tackle, defensive end, I believe a linebacker, which they necessarily didn't fully address because, let's face it, in the second round, Miles Jack was right in front of their grasp, and they decided to trade down not only once, but twice in the second round to get more picks, and, of course, ended up with one player, if I had to look up his name and remember it. I know Ronnie Stanley we can all pronounce, but we got to get used to the new guys. Kamali Correa. Out of Boise State, defensive end, 6'3", 243.
I don't even think you got that right.
Kamali Correa?
And you just mentioned, you just did a different pronunciation of it now.
Kamali Correa.
Okay, there we're getting a little confused here. It's not like Kelechi Osemele, where he had his own soundbite that said, how do you pronounce your name? He goes, Kelechi Osemele.
Are we going to have one of these Ubaldo Jimenez deals here right now? Because Kamali Correa could be that.
Well, was that when you were trying to say Jimenez?
Jimenez, yeah.
Yeah, no.
At least I wasn't saying Jimenez and sounding like a complete amateur.
Or you could say just Kim. Well, Kim is Kim regardless.
Yeah.
No one's going to mispronounce Kim.
Or Cam Correa. We could just say Cam Correa. That would sound a little bit better, wouldn't you say?
Well,
then, of course, people will be reminded of Cam Cameron, and I wouldn't want to do that.
That you could be reminded of Cam Cameron, or you could be just considered lazy that you have to shorten someone's name because you can't pronounce it.
That's very true as well. But at least I try. But a couple players that they passed up in the second round, of course, Miles Jack was one. Miles Jack was highly rated according to scouts, but of course facing injury trouble, so the Ravens wanted to lay off a little bit. Noah Spence, defensive end out of Eastern Kentucky, who was also a highly touted pick, was in the second round. Ravens necessarily didn't want to go after him. I think Derrick Henry was in the second round too, and of course the Ravens did draft a running back. It wasn't Derrick Henry, but it was an all-time leader in touchdowns. We'll get to that in the fourth round here. But in the meantime, though, let's look at the first picks. Ronnie Stanley, your thoughts on Ronnie Stanley?
Well, he's a tall man, just like Tunsil. Basically, the same body frame as Tunsil. I've seen some of his like montages of players that were picked later on of them rushing against Tunsil and he's being able to stop them. It's just the one thing, yeah, the guy can pass block and is able to protect Flacco the way you would see it. But with all these running backs, what is he going to do, when it comes to the run?
That is very true as well. The one thing that I was surprised with Ronnie Stanley, of course, was his demeanor. He seems like a guy that gets it both on the field and off the field and just seems like a scholar athlete almost, which is what you want in an offensive lineman because the one thing that the Ravens were famous for, especially during the Michael Orr era, was false starts. So you definitely want a guy that knows his plays and knows how to take a snap properly without costing his team five additional yards off of the offense there.
Yeah, there were a few times when those false starts were during key moments, and it just seemed like they came at a bad time. And when you do that, you're not going to be a team that's going to lead to much success.
Of course, after the Ravens drafted Kamali Correa out of Boise State, they go to the third round and draft another defensive end out of BYU, Bronson Cafusi, 6'6", 285. This guy is going to look like a giant out there on the defensive line there. Of course, you do got a lot of giants out there. You got Brandon Williams, who's a good 340. But this guy here, kind of reminds you of Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis, sort of. But, of course, we don't know what's going to happen there. But there is a good sign for the Ravens, though. Michael McCrary was at the draft when he announced that pick. I don't know if it's a passing of the torch since Michael McCrary was a memorable member of the Baltimore Ravens defense back in the early 2000s, but it's nice to see that the Ravens draft not one but two pass-rushing type players in the second and third rounds there.
Well, Michael McCrary passing the torch, I mean, he's been out of the league for a long time.
Yeah, that torch is out now. Yeah, several defensive ends have picked it up, but I guess it's always nice to see that happen because it can either be a good omen or a bad omen.
I mean, when was the last time, though, they had that kind of caliber player at defensive end when, you know, you had Michael McCrary, that 1-2 punch of McCrary and Rob Burnett?
Trevor Price in 2006.
That could work, but I definitely don't think Terrell Suggs counts because, you know, he's played defensive end a couple times.
Outside linebacker mainly.
Yes, but mainly an outside linebacker, but he could be that hybrid of a defensive end and an outside linebacker, but he just seems like outside linebacker is his thing. So it would be Peter Boulware or Jamie Sharper passing the torch to him.
Yep, and as we move from the third round to the fourth round, where the Ravens had not one, not two, not three, not four, but Brooks Robinson, Joe Flacco number of picks. Five picks in the fourth round. We'll go by each one. Tavon Young, cornerback out of Temple, 5'9", 183, was rated as an above-average player, according to scouts. Could possibly start for the Baltimore Ravens. And the one thing about Tavon Young, of course, is that he could fill a need for the Baltimore Ravens in terms of playmaking skills. The Ravens only had six interceptions in 2015. Tavon Young is more of a ball-hawking kind of cornerback, which is nice if he's able to do that, but the Ravens, of course, need to take care of the pass rush first before the secondary can take advantage of ill-advised plays from the quarterback side. For the second pick in the fourth round, of course, Chris Moore, wide receiver out of Cincinnati, 6'1", 206. Good size for a wide receiver, but there is one issue with Chris Moore that scouts pointed out. He's a one-dimensional wide receiver. He only knows one thing, and that's the long ball.
Well, he's another Torrey Smith, right?
Yeah, because that was Torrey Smith's gripe, right? We all criticized Torrey Smith about it. But you know what? If Chris Moore turns out to be a solid number two for the Ravens, that's not necessarily a bad draft pick, is it?
And in today's NFL, all it is just you just say, hey, go long, go deep. If you beat a guy, great. If not, make sure he touches you and you get pass interference. So it's a win-win.
Yep, and the third pick in the fourth round, which was pick number 130, the Ravens draft another offensive tackle, big offensive tackle out of Nebraska, 6'6", 312-pound Alex Lewis. So you draft Ronnie Stanley in the first round. You draft Alex Lewis in the fourth round. Two offensive tackles in one round. How do you feel if you're Eugene Monroe right now?
I mean, out the door.
You think so?
Yeah.
What's the probability right now? If you had to put the probability from 1 to 10.
His probability is Ryback.
So a 9.9, I guess you could say.
Yeah, because Eugene Monroe, I mean, everybody thinks that he's out the door. And, you know, the fans are not, you know, warming up to Eugene Monroe as well. Yeah, it's getting to the point where he's just going to have to look for another place because two offensive tackles in one round plus, you know, the first round as well, it's not looking too good for one Eugene Monroe.
All right, and as you move from the offensive tackle to defensive tackle, yay, with the fourth pick in the fourth round for the Ravens, they drafted Michigan defensive tackle Willie Henry, who was highly rated by scouts. Of course, the 6'3", 303-pound defensive lineman out of Michigan, and of course, this was during Michigan's revival year under one Jim Harbaugh, and Michigan having one of the best defenses in the nation. Willie Henry was a huge part of that. But my big question is, if you draft Willie Henry, who's a good-sized defensive lineman, where is he going to fit amongst the rest of the defensive tackles? Don't forget, you got Carl Davis, who is going into his second year, 320-pound defensive lineman. You have Brandon Williams, 335-pound defensive lineman. And you also have Timmy Jernigan on your roster as well. Where's Willie Henry going to fit? Is he going to have to, you know, be out of this world come training camp in order to get a roster spot?
On the bench.
You really think on the bench? Practice squad, maybe?
Yeah.
Or a practice squad would be mostly running backs or wide receivers, possibly, but we shall see. And with their final pick in the fourth round, not their final pick overall, they drafted one Kenneth Dixon out of Louisiana, running back out of Louisiana Tech, 5'10", 215-pound running back.
I thought you were going to say Dennis Dixon, quarterback out of Oregon.
No. That's years and years past. Yeah.
He was on the team, and they used him as like a way to simulate going up against Michael Vick.
All right, and that's another question. We brought up Willie Henry in the defensive tackles. What about Kenneth Dixon and the running backs? I mean, should I go on with the list of running backs we have on this roster right now?
I believe everybody is aware of the list and how many members it comprises, and also that Trent Richardson is on this roster as well, and people are looking and saying, well, who's going to be the 1-2 punch or who's going to be the starting running back, because you just never know in terms of who's going to be able to turn it up in for training camp for these guys.
Yeah, I mean, Joseph Forsett, Trent Richardson, Lorenzo Taliaferro, Terrence West out of Towson, not to mention Buck Allen out of USC. That is quite a stack right there for Kenneth Dixon to overcome. And I think if I had to put a projection out there for training camp games and not to mention preseason games, Kenneth Dixon is probably going to have to average 5 yards a carry if he wants a spot on the Ravens roster. Now, moving out of the fourth round to the fifth round, where the Ravens only had one pick in the fifth round.
You sound like that's underwhelming. They only had one pick.
Yeah, because you want to stay tuned for the multiple picks. They draft their third defensive end of the draft, Matt Judon, out of Grand Valley State, another tall guy, 6'3", 275. And that was the theme for the Baltimore Ravens, just drafting defensive linemen that are pass rushers. With Kafusi there, Correa, and Matt Judon out of Grand Valley State, it's going to get to a point where you're looking at this team and saying to yourself, okay, you're drafting all these pass rushers. Are you saying pass rushing was a weakness given the year that Terrell Suggs had and given the year that Elvis Dumervilleh had? Because let's face it, Ray, Dumervilleh and Suggs, they aren't getting any younger. And with these young guys coming in, if they start to impress, you know, their futures aren't looking too bright in Baltimore right now.
It isn't. Terrell Suggs is not going to be too far behind Ray Lewis and Ed Reed in terms of, you know, being in the wagon. I always thought that he should have retired with those guys. Like, all three of them should have retired at the same time.
I thought Reed should have retired with Lewis, but that's neither here or there. And with their final set of picks, in the sixth round, the Ravens drafted quarterback / running back / wide receiver out of the University. Actually, you can't say the University of Navy because that would be an insult to the midshipmen. My bad. The Naval Academy, Keenan Reynolds, your all-time leading scorer in terms of quarterback position in the NCAA. What are your thoughts on this local pickup here by the Baltimore Ravens?
Hey, it's the thing that gets the fans involved, and it's one thing that you say, well, if he works out, he works out. If not, oh, well, we at least did our hometown due diligence. And people are going to be, you know, happy with that. And if he succeeds and makes a living in the NFL, especially for the Baltimore Ravens, that's going to really, you know, up his market value.
Now, he necessarily isn't. I know some people are going to be talking like he's the first player ever taken out of the Naval Academy. Of course, there have been many guys taken out of the Naval Academy, Roger Staubach being one of your most famous players. But they still have to put in service. Do you think this is going to be an issue for the Baltimore Ravens if that topic comes up between Keenan Reynolds and the Baltimore Ravens franchise?
I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue. But then again, you know, it is the National Football League and versus his service time, and people are wondering exactly where every equation fits for one Dixon. But it's going to be interesting to see exactly what this guy can do, or even what this guy can do on the football field, if he's even allowed to at the beginning.
And last pick for the Baltimore Ravens, which was the 209th overall pick in the sixth round, they drafted 6'1", 193-pound cornerback out of Virginia, Maurice Kennedy. Not Kennedy, Kennedy out of Virginia.
You sure it's not Canada?
No, it's not Canada. It's not Canada or Canada.
Or it's not Candid?
Candid. It's not Candid. But the one thing about Kennedy that I should say about this, of course, is
you sound like you were in the 1920s when you said that, too. He's like, Kennedy, hey, what's up, sir?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get used to differentiating Kennedy and Kennedy. But there, I said a different version of
wow.
Kennedy.
You're all over the place. Josh,
these last names, Ravens, oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, you struggle with Correa's first name.
Yeah, well, the first name. Yeah, the first name, not the last name. Correa, I got right.
Yeah.
But, of course, Maurice Kennedy, we'll just say that, one of his biggest strengths is playing end zone and man schemes, so that is a big plus for the Ravens' cornerback depth chart, of course, so we'll see how that plays out for the secondary. Real quick, Ray, if you had to give the Ravens a grade for this year's draft, what would you give it?
B-.
B-, really? Do you have any qualms or any criticisms of any picks that they made?
Yeah, the fact that they didn't pick a single player that I picked them to pick.
You're still mad about Laremy Tunsil, aren't you?
Well, I mean, that day you can't fault the Ravens for. I mean, how about this, though? That puts an interesting situation to the equation is that, okay, you have character issues with a player. You don't want to actually bring in another player with character issues into the league, so you bypass on him. Another team picks him up because he's dropping down to them. Another team picks him up. They build him up to be a franchise player, and all of a sudden he's one of the best players in the history of the game. That happened with Randy Moss many years ago because he slipped in the draft, and then all of a sudden the Vikings took a chance on him and picked him. He's one of the best receivers of all time.
Chris Carter, a prime example of a guy that failed in training camp, failed under Buddy Ryan, and then got picked up by the Vikings and became a Hall of Fame player. So, yeah.
You have a ways of working that out and just makes you wonder, you know, exactly how can the Ravens draft players when there's ones with character issues, they want to leave them behind, and then all of a sudden that player drops, gets picked up by somebody else and becomes a superstar, and then the people question him, well, why didn't you hire a guy with character issues? Because you told me you didn't want a guy with character issues. It's kind of a catch-22, if you ask me, for the Baltimore Ravens, and Laremy Tunsil definitely put them in a corner this past Thursday.